step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
In the Gold Nugget in Lake Charles, Sean Lancer, Doug Day. So just me, you, AJ, and a giant screen with Brian Windhorst in front of me. As the TVs are on, they did us a favor of that. And judging by what the content has been for the last 3 hours since we got in here, not a lot to discuss as far as, I guess, national stories, other than football, because football will always be king, and it is the beginning of mandatory mini camps. I think the Patriots got going yesterday, but a lot of teams get going today, and the Texans do as well, and maybe take this as a clue that things are A-OK, but Aaron Wilson's reporting, I'm sure the Texans just told a lot of reporters who were there, that C.J. Stroud will be among the players available to the media. I would be surprised if he's made available if he wasn't going to be participating. Maybe that's just a thing. Get it out of the way on the first day, and he's still standing out there with the helmet off, not throwing. But maybe we take that as a clue that he's going to be out there participating, because what would anyone else ask him? What would they ask him if not about his shoulder or the general soreness if he once again missed the day of camp, at least participating in camp? So maybe that's good news. Either way, the quarterback at this point will be made available to the media, so we'll get at least CJ's perspective on why he missed time. We know what the Texans' tagline has been, not to worry about it, and maybe they're proven right if he's going to be throwing on June 10th, so we'll see how that plays out. So mandatory mini camps are ongoing. The Texans are about to get started. DeMeco Ryans and Nick Cassero out there running on the practice field. That gets videoed for some reason all the time, or at least mentioned all the time by people, media people who are out there early. So things are appearing to be normal. We'll see as we move on throughout the show what we get from Texans as they begin another part of their offseason program. We'll get to some Rocket stuff too, because while they are not playing and the finals are ongoing, the Rockets still are a point of conversation because of what they can and might do this offseason. There's an article on ESPN.com right now about the 10 teams to have the most interest in. The Rockets are among them. I think they maybe five or six on that list. And there's a quote from Rafael Stone we'll get to. And what some of the talk is from Bobby Marks, who is kind of ESPN's he shines in the offseason because they're talking about contracts and how trades work, and he has his little handy-dandy touchscreen that he comes on SportsCenter with, and he just shows you how a contract would work and how a trade would work. So I'll get to that in a little bit here. No Astros. They'll get going tonight. Lance McCullers on the mound as he tries to continue what has been a bit of a turnaround since his not his initial outing, but one of his early outings that led to all the ugliness. He has gotten better and better, so we'll see if he can continue that. But as far as what even happened last night, I am what you would not consider a hockey person. I watch hockey in the playoffs, and I'm like a lot of people. Oh, it's time to decide a title. I'm going to pretend like I know all there is to know about the sport, and I'll watch it. Now, I don't have any love for Canada as far as them winning anything. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since 93. In fact, Canada winning all the international tournaments, beating the U.S. in, like, the Olympics and Four Nations, the most recent one, and, of course, the World Championships, and has turned me off hockey a little bit. I'm a bit of a sore loser, but I'm watching again, and Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 93, and Florida, now up 2-1, is trying to deny Canada for a second time. They beat Edmonton last year in seven games after being up 3-0, and things look like they're turning in Edmonton's favor because they won the first game in a high-scoring game in overtime after the Panthers had a 3-1 lead, and they also were pushing the Panthers to the brink in Game 2 when they scored a goal with, like, 17 seconds left before it went to overtime. The Panthers won that one. So last night was game three, and the Panthers beat the snot out of the Edmonton Oilers in more ways than one. They beat them on the ice as far as goals being scored, and then when Edmonton kind of did what some teams do when things aren't going away. We're going to try to win a physical battle when we can't win the score, or at least the battle on the scorecard. They tried. They didn't. There was like a 5-on-5 fight that the Panthers won. All five guys won their matchup. Surprisingly, the goalies didn't get involved. And that's kind of just, I guess, the culture of hockey. There's a lot of conversation. I was listening to a show talk about how in any other sport, none of this is sanctioned. But it is what it is. You can use your stick to cross-check someone or spear someone in the middle of a fracas, and it doesn't matter. And it's just what it is. And if it's not personified but what we're about to play, I don't know what is. So this is probably, because you don't have the visual, it's probably maybe a 9-year-old girl, and she is being interviewed by a local reporter. I think his name might be Clay Ferraro in Florida. And she got what she wanted. And here's the sound of this little girl talking about hockey and what she loves about the sport.
Okay, peel back the curtain a little bit. We interviewed 9-year-old Sophia here before the game, and I asked her what her favorite part of Florida Panthers games are. Sophia, what is your favorite part of Panthers game?
The fighting.
The fighting. Okay, so now I have to ask you, now that it has become the big story from this game, what did you think about the fighting, especially in that third period?
It was really good, and I really liked how they punched each other a lot.
Now, did you feel like the Panthers won the fight in addition to the game?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So do you want to be our Local 10 fighting hockey expert?
Yes.
That's just hockey, and particularly playoff hockey. Although, actually, there are less fights because of how much the games mean, but last night was not one of those nights. The game was out of hand, and the Oilers, like that Denzel quote when he's sitting down with Jamie Foxx, "I'm going to leave here with something." And that's what the Oilers tried to do. Instead, they just got embarrassed in more ways than one. So that series had been a good one, at least the very competitive. Game three was a runaway, and the Panthers are going to try to go 3-1, and Canada's long-suffering drought of not winning a Stanley Cup, two wins away from that, at least for the Panthers, from that continuing. So that's kind of the biggest thing that happened last night. We'll get into some, I guess, off the court stuff as far as some of the storylines with the teams around the league in the NFL reporting for mini camps, and also, as I mentioned, that Rocket story as well. So we're just getting started here. It's me and AJ till noon. If you want to get in on the show, you can. Number is 713-780-3776. We'll come back with the Rockets, because they are a team that's going to get talked about quite a bit, and that conversation is continuing right now. So we'll take your calls. We'll get to a couple things that I found funny as we go on throughout the show. So me, AJ Tanoon, we'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
We've got video evidence, thanks to Jeremy Branham, who's out there at practice. That CJ Stroud is throwing a football, so crisis averted. We'll see how long, if he's participating in 7-on-7s, but he threw to the running backs. He threw to Jaden Higgins against air. Jaden Higgins dropped it, but hardly the important part of it. CJ Stroud's shoulder is well enough for him to at least throw in the early portions of practice, so I kind of suspect that if he's going to be open to he's going to have open availability and be one of the guys they put up there to answer questions, I don't think he was going to not participate and then have to answer questions about why he wasn't participating. So there it is. At least as of right now, everything seems fine. So that offseason storyline can be buried. General soreness is the initial diagnosis by Dr. D'Amico Ryans. We'll see what CJ Stroud has to say about why he had to miss time. But there it is, practicing throwing the football. Okay, so we push that aside. Nick Chubb's out there too. He's taking handoff, so he passed his physical. signed with the Texans. He did one of those customary "Hey Houston" videos on the Texans social media, and now he's out there taking handoff from C.J. Stroud. So, so their most recent acquisition is out there. I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is expected to participate in minicamp today as well. So far so good with the Texans and some of their bigger name players. As far as the Rockets, they are, what are we talking about, maybe 2.5-3 weeks away from some real movement as far as what their offseason may look like. And certainly trades can happen throughout the offseason, so even if it doesn't happen quickly, it doesn't mean it won't happen. But they're one of the teams of interest. If you go to ESPN, I mentioned that earlier, they, along with several others, are, I think it's nine others, are teams that if you are expecting a potential big trade or big signing to happen, more so the Rockets with the trade, considering their cap situation, you should kind of look at them closely. And one of the quotes from Rafael Stone sticks out. And the Rockets themselves, when their quotes are in articles, whether it be from Patrick Fertitta or Ime Udoka, there's been a cautious approach to the questions about what they might do to change how this team looks in 25-26. But the quote from Rafael Stone, courtesy of the Chronicle, is this: "I think continuity for continuity's sake isn't what we're trying to achieve. Continuity is great, but the goal ultimately is to build a championship team. And if we think there is a move or a series of moves that makes it more likely we will be that, then we would ignore continuity and we do those moves." So that's the quote from the GM, where there should be no reason to rule out a potential move that changes the trajectory of the team if it's going to lead to a championship. They won't be trading away one of these players people think highly of if it's not a championship move. Now, maybe that doesn't pertain to Cam Whitmore, a guy who does not play. I know there's still a lot of people who believe in Cam Whitmore. There may be even still Rockets personnel, front office personnel, who believe in him. But that one seems to be the case, where they are listening and talking about a trade for him. And I kind of think of it from two sides, not just the Rockets side, but Cam Whitmore's side. What's in the best interest of Cam Whitmore? Probably to go play someplace else, because he'll get to play. Now, if he goes to another playoff team, then it's going to be a little bit harder. And he probably doesn't want to go to a bad organization unless he's going to be guaranteed minutes. That might be most important for him going into year three of his career, to know that he's going to get 25 to 30 minutes, maybe more a night. So we haven't heard much from Cam Whitmore, other than his quote that the Rockets had to answer for after the season, his talk of not exactly knowing what he has to do to get minutes. Other than that, we don't see him pop off on social media. At least I don't see it. So while we may question what he looks like on the bench or what his attitude may be, considering there were some concerns coming out of college about that, but for the most part, he seems like a guy who just wants to play. And for him, that may be something where it has to be done someplace else, because we have not heard the comments about Reed Sheppard with Cam Whitmore, where the Rockets, at least through sources, are telling people that the goal is to expand Reed Sheppard's role. That is something the team wants to do in 25 and 26. We have not heard those type of comments from the Rockets on Cam Whitmore. He seems like the most likely guy to go as it stands, and maybe that's just for a smaller move. Maybe you're acquiring a couple of picks, or maybe you can entice a team who needs to get off a veteran, maybe with a specialized role. Maybe it's a shooter that you can acquire, because that team really likes the upside of Cam Whitmore. We talked about Fred VanVleet's option, and the story early was his option had to be exercised six days after his season was over. That was extended because we all assumed that eventually there would be a contract extension. Well, that date is not close, but it is the 29th. So if we're looking for dates for this Rockets team, the date of June 29th is when Fred VanVleet's contract has to be decided on, if he's not traded beforehand. He's a guy, like I said, we discussed yesterday about all the possibilities. Me and AJ, we're on the side of we would rather let, if we're not letting Fred VanVleet go, we'd rather just exercise the team option, which is near $45 million. Just have it be a year, and you can assess Fred VanVleet's value to the team after after the year, as opposed to locking in for 3 years, $90-plus million, whatever the contract might be, to give him more stability, even though the annual salary would be less. And I think it just – that would, at least for me, conflict with the we need to get Reed Sheppard expanded role, because at some point, because of his size, Reed Sheppard has to transition into being an NBA-caliber point guard. How do you do that if Fred VanVleet is playing 37 minutes a night for the next 2+ years or so? I say 2+ years because it could be there could always be a trade. I don't know. That's what that contract would have. Where that contract would have some value. You can always use it to facilitate a bigger deal. But let's just say it's 3 years, $95 to $100 million. When is Reed Sheppard going to play? He can expand his role as a backup. But if Fred's such an important piece of your team, Reed Sheppard's not playing big minutes in big moments, considering what your backcourt looks like. And that stuff can always change, because Jalen Green is one of those guys who was mentioned in this piece, and he's just going to be a guy that's always talked about because of the potential. And sometimes potential can be a killer, whether it be the team who's looking to acquire him or the team that he's currently on. But he's one of those guys who is going to be appealing and thought of as a guy who can be also in trade conversations, because depending on what side of the Jalen Green narrative you're on, you may believe what he is now is what he will always be. And I see a lot of that conversation online about Jalen Green. And you look at Shea and Tyrese Haliburton, the two best players, at least for their teams in the finals, and those guys were quote-unquote given up on early. We know the circumstances of why the Clippers did it. They did it because they could not get Paul George without him, and they needed Paul George to secure Kawhi Leonard. So you get why they made the move. Has not worked out for him. Of course, Paul George is in Philly, not playing. We'll see what he is in year two for them. And then Tyrese Haliburton was the younger guard on a team that already had De'Aaron Fox. And, of course, the jokes about the Kings now not having either are right there to be made. So I don't think they're alike when it comes to Jalen Green. Also, those guys were, I think, traded right after year one. It's been 4 years of Jalen Green. So while he is not a finished product, he's certainly a more finished product than Tyrese Haliburton and Shea. So I don't think the comparison's an apt one. Of course, there's always that possibility that trading him is a giant mistake. Can the Rockets afford to wait on it if a good deal comes around? I don't think they would if they believe that the move could go win them a title, at least put them in real title contention. As far as who is untouchable, I don't think Jalen Green falls in that mix, despite some of the commentary that's been out there about what the Rockets feel he can be. If he is the piece, because some team loves him, that you think could bring back a title, or at least a player that can help you win a title, I think they would make the move. I don't think that applies as much to Amen Thompson or even an Alperen Şengün. I think Jalen Green could bring back a lesser player that the Rockets think could help them win. Well, if they were considering trading Alpi, I think you're talking about bringing in a superstar. And we mentioned it yesterday that one of those superstars may not be available. Giannis, right now, all that momentum for Giannis asking out is lessening. We talked about Jake Fisher's report that Giannis has not asked out, and right now the momentum says he wouldn't ask out. Brian Windhorst was on this morning with ESPN and echoed those comments that the conversations about Giannis leaving Milwaukee aren't that prevalent in NBA circles right now. The expectation, I think, right now is that Giannis is going to stay, which takes a big player off the board, and it probably speeds up the process of making trades happen in the offseason, because a lot of teams who think they had a shot at Giannis would just wait, keep the powder dry until a trade was finalized one way or the other. But now, if he's not going to ask out, then the players who don't reach top five player in the world status become guys more likely to move. So while the Giannis thing probably would have held up the trade market until it was finalized, now we might see it as soon as those trades can be made. And one of those trades that is out there, at least according to Bill Simmons, he thinks that the Kevin Durant to Spurs trade is pretty much completed. They're just waiting to announce it. Certainly Kevin Durant was a target, at least an alleged target for the Rockets. And if he's if he's now off the board because the Spurs have put together a package to get him, that might be a sigh of relief for Rocket fans to not have to give up what the Suns might ask for a 37-year-old player who's still hyper-efficient, can still go get a bucket anytime he wants, but has been prone to injury, and you don't expect that to lessen as he continues to age. And maybe you're only working on a one-year deal for Kevin Durant, as you don't want to invest a lot into his future, and that will lessen the type of package you would give up. But if one Bill Simmons is to be believed with his speculation, you may not even have to worry about it. You can move on to someone else. So that could be like two major stars off the market before we even get to being able to trade. So just something to think about. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll continue to talk. We'll get to some more text and stuff here. And we will also, get to the Astros because they got a game tonight. Did not play yesterday, but Lance McCullers on the mound. And there was a question earlier in the day about how the Astros would deal with young players in their contracts. The name Hunter Brown was mentioned among them. We did not focus on Hunter Brown. We got to Jeremy Payne, and then of course the morning show gets distracted because that's what we do. So we'll get into the likelihood or why the Astros don't go in on those really long-term deals for some of their younger players. I think the comparison was made to Julio Rodriguez in Seattle and what they did to him. We'll get into the differences there, and well, we all kind of know the Astros' philosophy on that. So we'll touch on that. If you want to call in about anything, you can, 713-780-3776. We're here till noon. I am at the DraftKings Sportsbook here at the Gold Nugget in Lake Charles. It's a great place to come out here and come out to enjoy yourself. The pool was going the last couple of days. Trust me, I could hear it from my room. You can look out and see down into the pool, and you can hear the music as well. It stopped at a reasonable time, but you know, I'm done with this show at noon, and the music was going as soon as I got up to my room. I think it went into the early evening as well because it's hot. People want to be by the pool. It's a good time. Of course, you know John was out there playing golf, so you can do a lot here. Try to avoid what Lance does: lose at the slots. He's a mush, so you'll probably have better luck than he does. All right, we'll be back.
The Killer Bees, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. I missed the rejoin, so that was the delay, AJ. I didn't hear it, but so then I just guessed. Welcome back. We're at the Golden Nugget. We'll get to La Salsa. We'll talk video games. Some of the other, I forgot to mention when we were talking with the Rockets, some of the other appealing things about them as far as being on the trade market is all their draft picks that they own, and also the Suns draft picks. So they have several first-round draft picks they can trade, and they've got salaries that can help get trades done. So if they want to be, they can be a team who makes a move that maybe vaults them. And it's weird to say because they're the two seed, and I won't say it's a phony two seed, but was I surprised they got beat by the Warriors? No. When you're the two seed, I should be surprised if you're losing to a Warriors team that beyond Steph and Jimmy Butler, when Jimmy Butler's healthy, there's not a lot of juice there. Of course, Buddy Hield had a great Game 7, but we saw the limitations of that team after Steph got hurt. The Rockets didn't have the opportunity to play them without Steph, but the Warriors are gasping down the stretch of their dynasty, and they tried to hold on by bringing in a 35-year-old, and it was enough to beat the Rockets. And I think I won't say a real two seed. Let's just say a more experienced two seed takes the Warriors out, and maybe the Rockets are just one player away from getting that done. We'll see what they do. All right, let's get to La Salsa. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Deli Belly? How you doing?
It's not my name. I'm good, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm starting to replay The Ghost of Tsushima, and I was wondering if you ever played that before. Also, I had the little Miho in the car. And he wanted to know what John meant by that's the first time Pornhub pulled out of anything. I don't know what that meant, so maybe you can, get with it. He just wants to know. Later.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you explain it to him, since you're the guardian? Why do I have to explain to the non-existent hypothetical Miho in your car? You knew what John meant, so you can explain it. So as far as Ghost of Tsushima, I have not played that game. I'm not a big, open world game player. I usually just play sports games, but I'm looking into something because sometimes you got to draw your focus from recruiting in college football games. So I'm looking for the next one. I'm not sure. I mean, The Witcher 4 probably won't be out for several years now, feels like, considering some of the stuff they're doing to make that game a little different. And just the timeline of games, it feels like that one's not coming out soon. I know there's a new Mafia game. Mafia is a long-running game, but now there's one on PS5, I believe, coming out here shortly. So that might be something I do. But I have not played Ghost of Tsushima. From what I could tell, people were, and I think this is kind of consistent with games like that, the initial, whether it be the trailer, the cinematic trailer, maybe even some of the gameplay trailer stuff, is not representative of what you actually get in the game, because they can just create a video and a hype video for it, and then sometimes when you get the game isn't capable of doing what those videos show you it can, just how it goes. So we'll see what the new stuff on the PS5 give me. I'm a PS5 person right now, but Ghost of Tsushima I probably would avoid, just because I've heard people say that they were kind of duped by the initial hype promotion for that game. So we'll see. Appreciate the call, La Salsa. But once again, that's not my name. And also, tell your Miho, don't listen to John and Lance. Or you're responsible for explaining to that person what's going on that show. All right. We'll move away from that and tell you that Lance McCullers is on the mound tonight for the Astros. They're back in action. The Mariners blew a game last night, so the Astros lead increases a little bit. And where they stand right now is a team that probably is going to win the ALS. They've dealt with the injuries to the pitching staff, which will continue at some point. Arrigetti will come back. They've dealt with the slow starts of some of their hitters. Christian Walker still has to pick it up. But for the most part, seemed like they weathered any of the real storm that generally kind of hits the Astros early in the year. They're known to struggle early, and at this point in June, this is when they start to pick it up, and they weren't even at the pace they were last year in terms of struggling. So I think right now I don't really see a real challenger to them in this division. Of course, when you have Hunter Brown and Fromber, that's a good start, and if McCullers is going to be what he was, or what he has been over the last couple of outings, I'm not ready to say he's a third ace like Jeff Blum did. Jeff Blum was on MLB Network. We played that sound last week, and he put Lance McCullers in that category. I would not do that. I think getting anything from Lance is a positive, and hopefully what has been a positive story continues today. As far as the Hunter Brown conversation, Julian, I see you. We'll get to you here. If not, immediately in the next segment. But Hunter Brown the question was asked, why don't the Astros try to lock up Hunter Brown now, give him one of those longer-term deals like you see across baseball, whether it be a Tatis or Julio Rodriguez? I think that the biggest difference is, beyond the fact that the Astros don't operate that way, is that those guys were getting those deals when they were in their early 20s. Hunter Brown's now 26 years old. And maybe you don't think it'd be a 12-year deal, but what's the appropriate deal for a guy of his age? Not that he couldn't get a, not that he can't be a great pitcher for the next 8 years, but how the Astros operate in multiple ways, whether it be what happens to their pitchers because of the way they're asked to pitch. Looks like people forgot I'm here. I don't know if you can hear Maya Rudolph, AJ, but they have just turned up the level, so we'll see if I can get someone to maybe turn that down. But back to Hunter Brown. He's of an age where a 10-year deal from the Astros is very unlikely, even if they did operate in a way like the Padres or others would do in giving their young players big money. I think he's one of those guys who's destined to hit free agency. And what that means normally is for an Astro is they're going to go someplace else. I wish they would buck the trend a little bit, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case with him unless a new ownership group came in, and we don't sense that that's going to be on the horizon. So I would say get accustomed to Hunter Brown over the next couple of years. Love him. Love what he's doing. And then get ready for the – now it's some time away, so you don't have to start the goodbye tour now, but just be prepared unless he and the Astros break a trend of giving guys at his age a long-term deal for lots and lots of money. All right, we'll go to break with that. Julian, hang on. We'll get to you when we come back. You got a question about – I didn't see the question, but I did see that you're on hold. So we'll get to Julian when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
We are at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, and you may be able to hear PK Subban in the background because, well, it's his time to shine with the Stanley Cup going on. But Julian called in, and let's get to him. Julian, what's up?
What it is, Doc Turkey. I have a few things for you, man. Predator, killer of killers. Man, I give that a – what did Dave Chappelle say? I wish I had four thumbs. I can give it four thumbs, and he says down, but I give it up. It was a pretty nicely done animation. And then Hulu has another show that I just found out on accident, 1,000 Blows. Have you seen that? It's awesome. Now, this is going to be a sports-related one. Altuve, he probably has the best chance of getting 3,000 hits of anybody currently playing as far as an older player, a vet. But what's the likelihood of that? Because he's slowing down a little bit, and he's not going to be hitting 200 hits a year, maybe 150, you know? So that puts him about 2029, 2030. Man, I don't know. I think that's tough. What do you think? Have a good day, brother.
Appreciate it. So we'll start from the last thing you said and go the other way. All right, as far as Altuve is concerned, at 35 years old, you mentioned possibly slowing down. One of the things you got to be concerned with is health. Can he play? Maybe moving the left field is going to help him? I don't know. But he had 185 hits last year, and that was the most hits he has had since 2017. So you look at some of his numbers in 23, 112, and 22, 158, and 21, certainly injuries have played their role in him missing time. And then there's also the COVID year that hurts him, where he only had the 42 hits. So, and 64 right now. Does he want to hang on even as the skills diminish and try to get there? There's so many factors at play. Will he look at himself and go, you know what, considering how he's willing to drop down the lineup and go play left field, he may be someone who goes, you know what, this isn't me anymore. I don't want to be a guy simply doing this to get a record. And he might step away, but as opposed to doing the farewell tour when all he's doing is chasing the 3,000 hits. He's got his World Series. Who knows how many more opportunities he may have. He may look at it as, I've done all I could. I've played at this level for a long time, and now maybe some guys think they're cheating the game when they hang on. Other guys want to hang on and try to get to those benchmarks. I'm not sure that drives Jose Altuve. So you have to take that into consideration as well. What drives him? And if getting a record doesn't drive him, he may not be someone who's to be hanging on until 39, 40 to try to get there. He's currently right now at 2296, so still a ways away there. As far as 1,000 Blows, I have seen it. It has an actress in it, Erin Doherty. She has been in some things I've liked in the past. It's a UK show. Stephen Grant is in it as well. He is in Adolescence, which was a hit on Netflix as a limited series show. One of the things about it was it was a one-shot show. Everything was done in one shot. The entire show is that way. These long sequences of dialogue, and there's some action stuff as well. Just really good. He's in that show. He plays a dad in that show. So I like that one, but I'm not done watching that. That's on Hulu. And then Predator, Killer of Killers, talked about that yesterday. It's good. The story's really good. Without giving away too much, it's simply, if you know the Predator franchise, they love a challenge, and while they will kill humans that don't stack up, the ones they honor are the ones who challenge them, and then some of them kill predators. So I don't know how deep into the lore I want to get or when that became apparent, but yeah, this is kind of in that model where humans kill predators who attack them, and because of that, they are honored, sort of. And that's how I leave that. You can watch that if you like animation and you like it taken seriously and gory, and it's a Predator movie just in animated form. That is one for you. So yeah, we talked about Predator Killer Killers yesterday, and there's also going to be a new Predator movie where it looks like it's going to be us following a Predator as opposed to the humans being the center of the story. And I think Elle Fanning is in it. She plays like an android, which brings in the alien part of it because the company who created her is the company that's prominently featured in the Alien franchise. So there will be some AVP tie-ins there too. So a lot of that type of stuff going on right now. Of course, Alien has a new series coming out as well called Alien Earth. Exactly what it sounds like. We've dealt with the aliens, at least in that world, in space. In this case, we bring something back. And as you might imagine, carnage ensues. So a lot of that stuff going on. If you like genre television, it's a time for it. If you like IP stuff, it's there for you too. So yeah, Predator Killer of Killers. Some of that Michael Carroll recommended. He hit on that one. Talked about it yesterday. Also, I don't know if we mentioned it yesterday, but Department Q on Netflix is really good as well. That is not animated, so if you immediately scoff at something animated, that is real people solving crimes. And there is a twist in the middle of episode one that centers the story, and it takes off, and you of course it's a whodunit type thing, and it's the typical grizzled detective who has demons and he's got to overcome them to solve the crime and really get his life together. So it's all the things we know, the tropes and detective shows that some of us love. So that's there for you too. That's on Netflix. I watched that before. In fact, I think I mentioned maybe yesterday delayed my trip to getting to Lake Charles. I just had to finish the show before I got here. Little did I know, they have Netflix. So all I had to do was sign up, and I could have finished it here. But either way, those are a couple shows. Department Q on Netflix you can watch. And, of course, you like the Predator stuff, Killer of Killers. So thanks, Julian, for the call. Anyone else want to call in, as you know, about pretty much anything, you can. That number is 713-780-3776. So the news of the first hour is this. C.J. Stroud is throwing a football. He's participating in 7-on-7s. Reporters are telling us what he's doing. Less important that the guy who won Rookie of the Year is completing passes. The fact that he's throwing those passes is the more important part, considering the storyline this offseason. So that's good news. We'll hear from C.J. At least maybe you'll hear it on the later shows, but he'll talk to the media later after practice. So he'll give his thoughts on why he was absent from practice and what it actually was. Or maybe he just follows what the Texans have laid out there, where he doesn't say really anything other than he was sore. We'll see about that. All right, we'll go to break with that. We've got one more hour to go here at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We spent a nice 2 days here. We really got here Sunday, but we did a show yesterday. We're doing a show, closing it out today. And then, of course, the rest of the lineup follows us. So we'll get hour two going when we get back.
Yes. Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.